Abrams. She was telling us about her collection of Judaic.
Well, the collection really was originally my mother's, because mother was not a very vain person, and there weren't very many gifts of a very personal nature that we could bring her. After all, how many handkerchiefs, how many scarves could a person use? And so one of the great, and since she was such a very ardent Jew, and loved the beauty of Judaism, any time there was any holiday or holiday observance in the house, it was always done with her very loveliest and finest things. So it became so that the nicest gift we could bring her would be something of Jewish interest for her collection. And that was how the collection started. And when she died, she left it to me. We have since added to it with a few things, though actually not many. We have some very gorgeous Hanukkah menorahs, very, very old. We have some, I think, almost innumerable wine cups and spice boxes that are used for the Havdalah service on Saturday.
You practice Havdalah in your home?
When my husband was here, we
do. Do your children?
No, they don't. But, except when they were here. But he did. My husband davened every day. He put on his going every morning. Every morning he davened every night. And this was interesting because you know how a thoroughly, let's say, American man he was. To look at him, you wouldn't have expected that often. But he didn't have very few people. So anyway, we have many beautiful menorahs and we have they were very proud of them. And we have signed a few good past and our talents and those things and our things.
How did you spend most of the holidays in your later years?
Well, holidays have always been things. When we were first married, then we would take our children to my mother. Spent our holidays. We had to divide ourselves between my mother and my mother-in-law. Fortunately, they both, for instance, had two fedoras for Passover, so the first day we would be at one, the second day with the other, and so with the other holidays, too, the first day this morning, with all the holidays, too. Then, of course, after mother died, my brother David maintained the home here and tried to maintain it as a kind of of the family, and I did a great deal in helping him to keep his family. And he was a bachelor, he never died. And he was a very dear, wonderful, generous, kind person. And I helped him very much so that I felt that this was still my home. His home was still my home. And so when we were married, first of all, we were bringing our children here.
In this
residence, yes.
Uh-huh. Your mother lives here.
My mother lives here. I was married.
Uh-huh.
Then after mother died, David was here. And then he died just right before my daughter Barbara was married. And we were about to move out of our house on Eastern Boulevard. And so we were here. And moved back to my original home.
Well, when you lived on Eighth and Avenue, then where did you go?
Here, at Alamo.
Oh, Alamo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. We lived on Aiken Avenue for 20 years. And then we moved here to Alamo.
What year did your mother die?
1950s? Then after that, when David died, then of course I became the center, the focal point for the holidays, and the children stayed here, and they still come. And I don't think the grandchildren are happy really unless they do come to the holidays, except for Thanksgiving. They like to have Thanksgiving at their own home. The Jewish holidays, they belong to grandma. And we've been wrestling with the idea of having only one Savior for about 6 years now, and we haven't come to really terms with that shit. Someday I think they will come. But they do.
One of the things that we're interested in is your impressions of Pittsburgh, since you were born here and lived all your life here, and perhaps some of the contrast then as to now.
Well, it's hard for me to contrast, of course, with any other city or even any now. I'm very chauvinistic about Pittsburgh. I love Pittsburgh. I think it's a beautiful city. Even when it was called the Smoky City, I thought it was beautiful. I think the homes are beautiful, the streets are beautiful, the trees are beautiful, the parks are beautiful. There are many aspects of the city that aren't beautiful, but I think there are aspects of any city that aren't beautiful. I think that generally Pittsburghers are very warm and friendly. I know that any time I have come in contact with visitors from other towns, this is the first adjective that is applied to them. How warm, how hospitable, how friendly. And this is much more than apparently can be said about other cities. So frankly, I haven't been in a position to judge other cities in that degree. I think the general tone of it, of course, it's changed. Everything has changed from when I was young and from when I did things. When we were first married, or even late into our marriage, we were free to go walking any place and enjoy anything we wanted to enjoy and do anything we wanted to do without restriction. Now we're very reluctant to, unfortunately. It makes us safer, and now we're very aware of the dangers inherent in being alone and being out. Witness that my whole house is armed with a security system, and that doesn't stop shooting from residents at four times. Those things make me very sad. Those things make me very sad. Now, I'm beyond the stage. I'm on the stage. I don't have contact with that group of raising their children here. To know the difference between raising the children here in Willow Hill or East End, contrasted with the suburbs, the Churchill and places of that kind. They tell me, my children tell me, and Barbara, who lives in Well City, tells me that they're very glad that they don't live in Churchill. They find the whole pace of life much slower and much simpler and much more wholesome in the suburbs than it is either in Willow Hill or in East End. I was surprised to hear you say it about the East End, because I always thought the East End, the Jewish community, was a very conservative one. But apparently, young people, and they behave pretty much the same way all over. But I'm surprised you didn't group them together. However, I'm just quoting them. I don't know. I can't say that for my own. I do know that Barbara is very content to raise her family in the small town because she thinks that she's a more thorough job in building their characters and building their Jewish identity. Creating value for them there than she could do here. I don't know that she's right about it, but she feels that. I think that if she would exert the same effort here as she exerts there, she'd probably get the same results, but it would probably be hard. Maybe it would take more.
Have you seen many political changes over here?
Well, of course, these days, with women's liberation, I've seen a great many. Oh, yes, I can see it even in my own, from my own childhood, because my mother was one of the first people to march in the Women's Suffrage Parade. Aside from everything else she did, she did that. Yeah, so there have been a great many changes. Yeah.
How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life?
Well, I think they generally state in the life of the Pittsburgh Jewish community has been very important to Pittsburgh itself. I think that we have established many, that is, total Jewish community. I think they've established many wonderful precedents that the general community has more or less latched on to certainly established techniques. That goes without saying, and I don't mean just for fundraising. I don't like to describe the community just by fundraising. But I do think that getting people to keep getting involved, I think is a deal. I think the Jewish community generally could be and should be more active in general. I think they should take a big part in the cultural activities of the modern. We do see Jewish men listed on various boards and the Wanda Cleaver's art and symphony and his office. But I don't think we see enough. And, I'm not sure that we see enough in the United Fund, though I understand how this is approved. But generally speaking, I think that the Pittsburgh Jewish community can hold it very high. I really do. I think that we should be very proud of what we have done.
This is a hard question to ask, but how do you view your accomplishments, your successes and failures?
That is a hard question. I don't know. I don't know what the accomplishments I've had. I've always felt that the one accomplishment I had was in being president of the sisterhood and proving, because I was so young when I became president, I think I was 29 and maybe 30. Up to that time, sisterhood was really flowing. And when I came in as a young woman, as the head of the sisterhood, it proved the sisterhoods were not for old people. And I think that that was in itself an accomplishment. Since I have tried to implement what I have learned, sometimes I've been successful, sometimes I haven't been successful. I would have really no way of knowing that. What was your question again?
How you view your accomplishments?
Would you mean in community life?
Yes.
Or
in the community?
Both. Mm-hmm. Well, in the family, I'm proud. I am, because I'm very proud of my daughter. In the community, I think I have a great family.
Did you feel you had very big shoes to fill by trying to emulate your mother?
I never tried to emulate her. Uh-huh. I never tried to, because I knew that was impossible. I don't think anybody could. In the first place, I couldn't do it because the challenges were different. She came on the scene when there was nothing, and she had to use her own brains and her own imagination and her own foresight. Actually, I was a follower. She was an innovator. She was an innovator in the whole community. So that I don't think when we talk of those early pioneers of the Jewish community, any of us could fill their not one. And so I never tried, because I knew it was impossible. She taught me a great many things. It was very darling when we would be at a meeting together and I would be speaking or conducting. And she would sit in front, so her head would go up and down like this, or else it would go no, 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 and then I got really rattled. But she was very honest in her criticism and helpful. But I never tried it anyway. And I hope that Maxine and her work won't do that with me too. I want her to be doing my good job. I really do. I think it's terribly foolish. I hope she has the same interest, because I think it is a good way to see them.
Are you still active in the
system? Oh, yes. All kinds of I've limited myself now to congregation. I said, the sisterhood, congregation, and youth training. And the other thing is, I guess, I'm a
are you in the fundraising end of the
weekend? Yeah. I have been on the board. Oh, I was one of the first members of the board when the board was first established. That was one of the very first board of the Women's Convention.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I can't think of anything right now. Except it's been kind of fun talking about it at times. I'll probably think of a lot of things after you've gone.
I have just a little question. When you went to Israel and to Palestine in 1926, did you not return again until 1964?
That's right.
Why?
Well, remember I told you about the Depression. And then I was married, I was raising a family, and people didn't take trips like that so quickly. This was a big company. They said that it was the reward of all those things. But until after 1940, 1950, and then my husband was in business, and he put that business business in that length of time when he was in business, the longest they chose to be in the day. Later, he was back in the day. So we just were able to go. We wanted to.
Well, thank you very, very much, Mrs. Faber.
My brother Jacob lost his wife, who was Florence Bacharach from Philadelphia. She was a darling daughter. And left him with two young children, Richard and Susan. Dick was, I guess, about 3 or 4 years old, and Susan was just a year and a half old. And she got pneumonia, one of those 3-day pneumonia things, and she died of pneumonia. And there was he left with these two little children. He lived on Woodmont Street at the time. And Mother, she said, well, you will just come and live with us here. And so he and the two children moved here and couldn't stand to be in his own home. And they were very, very young, the two children. They came and they lived here in the second year. And I was forced to come to the time. This was also pretty much during the Depression. And she really raised those two little kids. Well, naturally, by this time she was getting older and it was getting a little bit harder for her to do things, so I took on a good bit of the responsibility and I had all these claims. A great deal of the joy and the pleasure and the responsibility of having helped today. And then unfortunately, Dick had lost his ground in the Caribbean. Susie now lives in New York. And she has three beautiful children. I just look at it. Dick has two daughters and a son. Left two daughters and a son. His oldest girl is now at the NYU Law School. And the other one is about to graduate from Wellesley, and the boy is about, has just entered law school. And so Susie's children are in the boy is a brilliant and the girl for the going to college here. So as I said, it was a life with a lot of sorrow in it. It was a dreadful thing that my mother lose her children so young. She was very outstanding and very precious to her, and decided to go play to her and the young man. All the devils and really to watch her head. And I think it made me a much more mature young person than I might have otherwise been, and maybe that's why the age difference between me and my husband meant so little. It didn't mean anything, really. He was young in spirit, and I was perhaps a little bit older than a normal 25-year-old would be when I was. But as I said, I'm very sorry for the sadness of the